Hey, on today's podcast episode, I am talking about the fear. That's the fear of a lot of different things. It's not the fear of podcasts. It's not the fear of putting my message out there. It's not the fear of, I don't know, anything silly. Just fear in general. Where does fear come from? How do we fuel fear? How do we fight fear? And trying to help you, as usual, make a little bit of sense of the things that you're going through. And fear is a massive one. Okay. Fear is massive for everybody. It's probably the biggest thing that holds you back. Let's get into a little bit of it in today.
Hi, I'm Paul Keenan, and you're about to start developing strength from the inside out with this podcast. I'm a personal trainer and mentor for trainers and coaches. With me, you won't get motivational fluff or hype. You will get a combination of brain science, real client case studies, transformational psychology, action steps, and some woo-woo wisdom, all rolled into one superset. If you're wanting more from your life, to feel better, look better, to heal, perhaps to have more and to be more, then this is the podcast for you. Because you're going to learn how to strengthen your mind and develop your awareness physically, mentally, and emotionally. All from the inside out. Welcome to the Mind Your Muscle Podcast.
In a previous episode, I was waffling something about being able to choose your results and the outcomes in your life. And you can't choose your results. In fact, you always do. Some people don't want to believe that, though, because it means they have responsibility for where they are, how they feel, and what they have. But you're creating it. You're either creating what you want, or you're creating what you don't in life. Not everyone is ready to accept responsibility for their actions. I get that. I've been that. Done that. Now, I hope that I am. I hope that I do accept responsibility. I mean, I fuck up quite regularly. Make mistakes. Some small. Some massive. Some that only maybe really impact me. And others that have a big impact on a lot of other people. Recognizing the impact of your decisions, of my decisions, you know, that's been on my mind a lot lately, the impact of decisions. And I'll always own my part, suffer the consequences if I need to, or reap the rewards on the other side. Because if I don't suffer the consequences when the shit hits the fan, then I'm not giving myself the opportunity to change, to be better. And I reckon, you know, each day, as I'm about to maybe vomit a little in my mouth at what I'm about to say, that each day I'm looking to do a little better. Okay, mouth vomit, fucking done. Let's move on. If you want to change, you have to change. Like, whoa, how profound is that, Paul? But if you want to change, you have to change. Change is scary, isn't it? And it can be hard. You can choose the hard of staying where you are, or you can choose the hard of change. And everyone has their own definition, perception of hard. Now then, changing results. If you can learn to change your thoughts, then you will create the opportunity to change your results. Notice that I said create the opportunity. This isn't a podcast entitled Think and Grow Rich. I like the book. Love it. There's a few stages in between though. And at the end of the day, that was the title of the book. Not the four words that miraculously change your life, chum. But if you can begin the process of thinking, you'll probably also have started to change your attitude in the process. That's what the last episode in the podcast was all about attitude. Not just my attitude, but it was about attitude. Let's say you have an attitude that is centered around loss or lack or rejection or failure on different areas or different levels in your life. So let's say that you think that you can't do something. Let's say that you believe that you can't do it. Your belief in your inability comes from previous thoughts. Thoughts that you've built up and built up and built up. Those thoughts then created ideas. And those ideas started to combine. And that begins to formulate a belief. A fact. Our beliefs are then compounded by the other facts we look to validate them based on the world around us and any similar or sometimes not even fucking remotely similar experiences at times. Our mind is a messed up place. After all, nobody's ever seen it. Nobody's ever seen the mind. We have a concept for it, but it's not a physical, tangible thing. Can't touch it. That should fucking scare you if nothing else does. Yet our beliefs, I mean, they're true, aren't they? Of course they are. Yeah, we're right. Correct. I mean, I'm the most correct person on this podcast right now, for sure. 100%. Who could even dispute that? It's out there. And if you try and dispute it, you're disputing a past event, past statement, history. I think I'm correct. And we become what we think about, don't we? All great leaders do agree on that one statement. We become what we think about. And what we think about, we can bring about. Not always a good thing, that either, though. The thought of fear isn't good, though, is it? So fueling it probably isn't a smart move. We don't like to think about fear. We're afraid of being afraid. Afraid of fear itself. In fear of fear. That thought of fear is coming from information. Information provided by one, two, or maybe all of our senses. Five senses. And that information that we're being fed is what we see as reality. And we're being fed by our senses. Our mind is fed by our senses. Our senses of smell, sight, hearing, taste, and touch, they're gathering information and feeding it into our brains. The brain collects, attempts to sort, and you know what's then starting to process that shit, that information, to help us understand or try to understand what we're experiencing. So our senses bring information, carry it. The senses do not analyze. They do not sort. They do not make sense of it. That process happens beyond our senses. We've got to try and remember then that if we're trying to understand the world, we're not doing so with our senses, or we shouldn't be. We are doing so through our senses, and that our understanding of what the senses provide is being processed elsewhere. So what if our senses are feeding us misinformation? What if they're feeding us the correct information, but it's being processed wrong? What if they are feeding us the wrong information and it's being processed in an even more obscure and wrong way? Wronger way. Is that even English? Who knows? But you get what I mean. Basically, we need to be doing more than just relying on our senses. Recognizing that our senses cannot always be trusted. We should really just be seeing our senses, you know, like little antennae that are allowing us to feel our way and experience our way through a world. The world as we know it. And the world as we know it is the reality of processing our life's experiences, the sum of it, sum of them. We have to remember that the reality that we experience is merely our reality, okay? I've said that a lot of times, I'm sure, in this podcast. A reality that we've 100% created based on previous thoughts, feelings, and actions. So that reality is a reflection of our previous thoughts. Think about that. Where you're at is a reflection of your previous thoughts. Yet those thoughts that have, you know, that created that reality, they're not in the present. They're in the past. They're history. Been. Done. I actually studied fucking ancient history from A-levels. Then, you know, I think at that time, I believe, I woke up and sacked off not just ancient history, but A-levels altogether. Why? Was tired of being fed. Looking back at 17 years old, I was maybe actually starting to come into my own level of conscious awakening. I certainly wasn't aware of it, okay, but I think I was coming into it, looking back. You know, conscious awakening and decision making based on how I was feeling. And that decision was important because there was fear in that decision to drop out of A-levels. Massive fucking fear. Massive anxiety, worry, stress. Huge unknowns. You know, fear of what my parents and grandparents would say. Fear of the path I had in front of me. Was there a fucking path? Was I making a mistake? Everyone was doing A-levels. I had to. I mean, I went to a school where the goal was to do A-levels. That was the doctrine, the belief. And at 17 years of age, I was starting to challenge that doctrine. Not challenge other people, but challenge that doctrine, whether that was right for me. Opening up to the fear of the unknown, fear of leaving something I'd been part of, you know, for 6 years. I'd basically done a full year of A-levels. It was a fear of leaving friends, stepping out of that comfort zone. Everything I knew, the careers advisor when I actually said I was, you know, was leaving, how to meet the careers advisor, and they tried to put me off leaving, telling me it was going to take me another year to get the university if I wanted to go, and I should just stay and do my next year, do my exams at the end of the lower sixth, and then go and finish the next one. And I did want to go to uni. That was my goal. No clue what to do or why, other than, again, it was what I should do. But that was the goal, and the goal wasn't changing. For me, it was just changing the plan to get there. And again, that's something that I only recognize now looking back. But if I was going to go to uni, I wanted to go there by doing something that I enjoyed doing, a process that I enjoyed. I wanted to enjoy the process. I didn't want to use A-levels as a means to an end, i.e. the means to, you know, get to uni. I wanted the university thing. Fuck, I did, yeah. But I also wanted the process to mean something to me, to feel it. And I didn't feel A-levels. It fucking annoyed me. So I went to tech, technical college. Okay, we just call it tech. And I loved it. I had an absolute blast. Great friends, great laughs, great times, great memories. Treated like an adult, but behaved like a teenager. Because that's what it was. Best of both worlds for me there. You know, and that's where I belonged, and I knew it. Fucking 1-0 to me. Get in. But, you know, reflecting on that, I think that's where a sinister part of my own ego was probably developed at that point and started to grow. A need to prove people wrong. Because trust me, it wasn't an easy thing to do. And my life wasn't easy because of that decision. To some, it might not look like a big decision, but it was. So my life wasn't easy, fucking the opposite, in fact. You know, I wasn't exactly supported by some people, and that was tough. But I'm not going to go into that. The point is, I was afraid, but I made a decision that I pushed through. I had no history to guide me there, other than when I went to tech for the interview, which was after the decision to leave A-levels had actually been made. The course tutor said she expected me to do really well, based on the type of school I was coming from, because she'd seen others do it before me. What did that do? Give me a little bit of hope. Give me a little bit of confidence. And I did well. You know, full distinctions with a BTEC National Diploma and a ticket to the uni of my choice, basically, which was Leeds Met. Moving away from home, going to another country to live, more fear was coming. Now, we can use history to guide us. We can use history as a point of reference. We don't just want to accept every little piece of history, though, that has gone before us, thrown at us, and let it define our future. Especially if it's a future we don't want. Think about how much you're influenced by your past. Your past choices, past experiences, people from your past, and so on. Go on, just think. How much are you actually living today from your past? Allowing your past to govern your reasoned choices. I want you to clear your mind a little second. Let's do a little meditation. Take a breath. Relax. Take another breath. Now that we're relaxed and the world's quickest meditation was done, I want you to think. I want you to think of a strong adult Bengal tiger. A strong adult Bengal tiger. I want you to think of that strong adult Bengal tiger sitting under a beautiful green tree in the shade. A beautiful green tree with delicious red apples hanging from it. I want you to draw those thoughts out of your mind. That strong adult Bengal tiger under that beautiful green tree lying in the shade with red apples hanging off it. Draw those thoughts out. Put them down even on a piece of paper. Think and draw them out. And when I say draw them out, I don't mean pull them out. I mean draw. Thoughts aren't maybe what all of us have been told they are. Because if you were actually to say what you were thinking there whenever I was asking you to think about the Bengal tiger and the green tree and the shade and the delicious red apple, it wouldn't be words that are coming out on that paper. It would be pictures. Pictures. Images. Words are simply language to help describe the thoughts that we're having. The words for red apple in English, well, they're different to the words for red apple in German. But the image is still the same. The apple is still the same. You know, we might experience the sun and the sky in different ways at the same time as someone a few thousand miles away, but it's the same sun. Think about that sun shining bright in the sky. When you think about the sun, what happens? There's an image flashes in the screen of your mind, an image of the sun, an image, a picture, a reference for us. Someone could grow up and be told that the sun is the moon and the moon is the sun. So the image that flashes onto the screen of their mind when someone tells them to think of the sun would be what we think as a moon. It's pretty fucked up. Be careful who you listen to when it comes to your learning and development. Listening to only one source of information is good at times because it probably means you won't be getting too confused and will have a little clarity. But it also means that you're seriously limiting your opportunity to expand your awareness if your goal is to grow and you're maybe not seeing progress. The less aware you are, the more afraid you're going to be. So, like I said, we think in pictures, we think in images, and create an image of who you are and what you want in absolutely any areas of your life should come in the form of an image. That's why people have fucking vision boards. An image of what you want, that bit's important. Now, I'm not saying go and get a vision board. I don't have a vision board. Okay, I just know what it is that I want because I'm trying to create the picture every day. I write about it. I write the words, but think about the pictures. So creating an image of what you want, that bit's important. If you bring up an image of something you don't want, then you're opening up more to the possibility of fear. And if you're struggling to find an image for a thing that you want, a thing that you want to experience, then, you know, maybe we could, I don't know, take a fucking step to the left and imagine how having that thing, having that experience would make you feel. How it will make us feel. How it will make you feel. Because to tap into the frequency of what we want, that's done by tapping into the feeling. And the image always creates some form of feeling. Always. The feeling exists, then we also know that somewhere the image exists. Quantum physics has actually identified that if what you want exists within you, within your mind, that the thought form cannot exist without simultaneously creating the probability of its existence in reality. And quantum physicists, I mean, they're pretty smart. So if you're going to not, I don't know, you're not going to listen to me, go and listen to them. I don't know if they've got a podcast or anything. But I don't know, go and read some of that shit, sunshine. Keep tapping into how the things you want will make you feel. That's where the magic is. That's the secret sauce. Tapping into the feeling. When it comes to fear, however, fear is manifesting from the unknown or from an unwanted outcome that we are creating in our mind. So often when we, you know, try to think about things, we do so using our senses. Remember what I said about the senses. They're relaying information. Information only. We interpret that information in our mind. So when, you know, we rely there on our senses, we're relying on our environment to provide the answers. But the environment we're in is based on our previous thoughts. And we're living through our senses in that case, which is basically daily. And remember what I've said, to tap into the frequency of what we want, we have to tap into the feeling of it. And that feeling on an emotional level is not part of our five senses. We feel it on a physical level, but not physical through a sense of touch. We feel it as a vibration in our body. It's one of the reasons I actually don't follow too much or get, you know, too engrossed in news. I recognize because, you know, that's me being influenced by my sense of sight and hearing. And what am I seeing and hearing there? Someone else's information, someone else's interpretations, perceptions, agenda, propaganda, whatever you want to call it. That's what they're selling. And I'm not always buying that shit. Do I ignore news and world affairs? No. I just do my best to try not to become emotionally involved in them. When you think of thinking, you were probably taught to use your brain. You know, mental activity. Thinking is not mental activity, though. It's not intellectual. Thinking is emotional. Thoughts are created by our senses. They are transmitted through our senses. Thoughts are formed after our senses pick up that incoming energy. Everything is energy. The entire world and world of worlds and universes are pure energy, pure consciousness, one source. Our mind picks up that energy and attempts to make some order of it. Our senses can often deceive us, and therefore so can our thoughts. Thoughts can't be collected, All right. So it can't be collected by someone. They're not getting stored in a jar. They're not getting put in a petri dish. They're not getting kept in a test tube. Thoughts are energy, pure fucking energy. And it's awesome whenever you recognize that. Well, I think it's awesome. Maybe I'm a weirdo. But I know that there are plenty of weirdos out there now. Plenty of woo. If we want to be better as a human, then undoubtedly we have to obviously begin to think more. And then we have to understand our thoughts. Then we have to ask ourselves if we can look at things from a completely different perspective. Challenge ourselves to question. Challenge our beliefs. Challenge our fears. What is it you're afraid of? What's the worst that can happen? Yeah, be careful with that one. Because what we think about, we can bring about. Are you fueling your fears from your past? Or fighting them for your future? Go and answer that one. Send me a postcard. Catch you on the next one.
Thanks for listening to the whole podcast. If you're someone who enjoys seeing other people grow, then please share this podcast with your friends and family. If you found help through my voice and message, then I'm sure that they will too. So please share it on social media, share it via text, WhatsApp, and your DMs. Be present, challenge your own beliefs, trust the process, take action, be the community. So please, for every episode I share with you, I'd love you to share that podcast directly with someone else. And if you have questions, I'm there to help too. You can email me questions to paul@volumefitness.co.uk. I might even use your question for a future episode. And lastly, I do have one more request. And you only have to do this once, by the way. I want to reach and help more people, and you can help me with that. So if you can, please leave my podcast a fantastic review on iTunes. That way we can both help others gain strength and belief, all from the inside out. Thanks for listening.